This is the iMoveU podcast, getting you private practice ready. We give you fresh ideas on mindset, communication, and clinical skills so you can have a fulfilled career.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the iMoveU podcast. Today, I'll be your host, Andrew Zachariah, and I have a very special guest. It's actually my wife, Melissa. Hey, Mel.
Hello.
How are you?
Going well. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Finally. I think some of the listeners will be thinking, wow, they must be getting really, really slow. No one's saying yes to their invites. But there is actually a reason for getting my own family, my wife, on the podcast. It's actually because, Mel, you have a very unique story to tell. And it's around kind of when we first met, actually. You're about 2-3 years out of uni. You're a young podiatrist. And yeah, I might let you take it away, but tell the listeners where you're at in your career.
So I suppose when we met, a question that you asked me amongst other questions was, when you've got a client coming in and orthotics don't work for something like plantar fasciitis or heel pain, what do you do? And that question almost had me stumped when I answered, you know, we do things like strapping, you know, orthotics. And then I didn't really have much else to answer for that. And yeah, part of me felt really annoyed that that was kind of my answer of where I was at. But I think it really reflected where I was at in terms of clinically and with my confidence with clients at that point in time as well.
It's interesting. Yeah, as a physio, like I hadn't worked with many podiatrists before, and it shocked me a little bit to kind of go, orthotics didn't work, you didn't have a backup. I think at the time your answer was, I'll just alter the orthotics. And I remember just going, yeah, but if that doesn't work, it's like, I'll alter it again. But bigger picture, where were you at with your career? What were you actually doing at the time?
I think at that point in time, I was working a bit in private practice and also at community day therapy centers with people over 65 years old. So it was a mixture between the two. I probably felt that I was at a bit of a fork in the road with where I was at that point in my career, kind of being out for, you know, 3 years or so, felt like I should have started to be feeling more confident in my role as a podiatrist. Was feeling confident in some aspects of the job, particularly the routine side of things, nail care, corns and callus. But when it came to anything more biomechanical, I felt zero confidence. Probably felt anxious, if anything, if a biomechanical client was coming through, and just really didn't feel like I had many options in terms of treatment modalities with anything a bit more complex or biomechanical.
And how are you feeling about being a podiatrist overall?
I was definitely exploring other options at that point in time. So I had enrolled to just go down a different track, still in health, but I was looking at doing something different in nursing at that time. And I just thought that there wasn't much else. I'd explored what I could in podiatry, but I thought that I was pretty much done with that. And I was looking at different options because I didn't think that there was much else that I could get out of my career then.
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy to think, because you actually applied, didn't you? You had already applied.
I actually got into
uni. You actually got in?
Yes.
And
it was
fair
a while
enough.
Back now, but
yep.
It didn't, well, the end of that story is that I did not pursue that any further because yes. Things then changed.
Yes.
But I was definitely looking at other options because, yeah, wasn't very satisfied or, yeah, pleased with where things were going at that point in time.
So this is where the really interesting thing comes about. Like you got into nursing, but obviously didn't take that final step and actually, you know, went and do it. Mm-hmm. What changed your mind? Like, why did you give podiatry another chance, or why did you stick at it a little bit longer?
I think when, like with any of us, we've put in the time and the effort and the stress, we've gone through the uni degree, we've started to work for a few years, we have experience under our belt, whether we think that's not enough. But I think with that all in mind, it was enough to think, I need to give this one more shot and I need to explore what else there is to explore. And at that point in time, I also came across something that sparked my interest with podiatry, and that was through Ted Jednak, who's the founder of Foot Mobilization globally now, which he started in Adelaide. And I could see that he was starting a movement. He was exploring a different way of providing podiatry to his clients, completely different approach, completely different clinic setup. He was almost a bit of a rebellious podiatrist in my vision of of things. And I think, yeah, it really appealed to me what he was getting up to. And I thought, well, that's different. It looks so hands-on. It's completely different. We can offer our clients something else. I need to be doing what he's doing. I want to be doing that. And I explored that. I kind of forced Ted, but he was also open to the possibility of running his course in Adelaide, which he then ended up running it many times after that. And then after that, explored other courses, Tim Branson's Strong Feet course, and all this stuff then just gave me this momentum that started exploring what else we can add in our toolkit as podiatrists, biomechanical, hands-on treatment and otherwise. And that, yeah, that just started this flow-on effect that has progressively led to where I am now and building my motivation back up significantly.
Yeah, I love that. I love that it did build your momentum and you went and did lots of different courses. It didn't just stop there. I think you went and did dry needling and a few others, interstate courses. So what, like to go back a little bit, what made you want to go and do Ted's course? And maybe why hadn't you done it previously? Like, did you just not know about it before then? You didn't know that all these other courses existed, and once you went looking, you found them? Or did you just never do them because you didn't see the point or didn't see the, you know?
Probably a combination of a few different things. I think I probably wasn't aware of the courses that were being offered. I think in time, more podiatrists and other health professionals as well are offering different courses. So there's some courses that I've done that aren't by podiatrists. They're by all sorts of therapists, you know, movement specialists and all sorts. I think there's so much we can learn from, you know, anyone in the allied health sector, really. We can all learn off of each other, I think, as well. So I think it's a combination of not really maybe even knowing what I wanted to do to start with. Then all of a sudden, once you see opportunity and momentum starts, you just see the opportunity in so many more situations and, you know, all this new information you can draw from various different courses. I think, yeah, once you open more to learning, you can just see learning in more scenarios there as well.
Yeah. Mm. Cool. So I would love for you to talk more about being a podiatrist. I don't think we've had any podiatrists on the podcast before. And again, I might be biased just from hearing your stories in the past, but you didn't feel like you're prepared coming out of uni. Now, reflecting back on what you know now, what are some of maybe the things that you can help young podiatrists with? What should they be doing in their first couple of years so they don't end up and go do some nursing instead?
I think probably a main thing is if you have the opportunity to be in a team and not just with podiatrists, with other allied health workers as well. I think what can be very isolating sometimes is being just the one podiatrist and it's yourself and your one receptionist and it's just the two of you. And, you know, as a new grad, if you've got any questions, you know, you can ask your receptionist, but they're probably not going to help you out a great deal. And you've got your friends from uni days, you can kind of bounce ideas off of them, but at the same token, they're not always going to get back probably as quickly as you'd like or whatever it may be. I think being in a supportive team and, you know, being in a supportive environment, I think is a huge one. But I think there's so many other aspects to it as well. You know, there's so many cool people you can follow on social media nowadays. You know, you can have constant inspiration in that regard with your associations. You can be teed up with a mentor. So you're not alone there. So you can have someone maybe that's outside of your work environment as well that can provide you different perspective that's not biased to your workplace particularly either. I think, I think even just simple things like with the client in front of you, learning to pick impairments rather than being hung up about a diagnosis. Simple things like that can make a huge difference. I think there's just so many factors that tie into that question, yeah. Really.
Yeah, of course. One thing you just said in terms of, you know, be within a team, but it doesn't need to be the business you work in. Like I know you do a lot of networking with other clinics that are close by, right? Like you do work in a environment where there are physios, massage, podiatry, but you still go and reach out to other physios from other clinics. You know, if you were maybe not the solo pod, but if you were in a pod only clinic, right, and you had other pod mentors, you can still learn by going and networking with the physios down the road or the EPs down the road.
Yeah, definitely.
Any advice for the young pods out there? Like, because that could also be scary, right? They probably feel like they don't know as much and then now it's another profession. Any advice there?
I think if you're open to probably the discomfort of getting out there, there's huge opportunities, even with some of our newer clinics that we've set up, huge opportunities with exercise physiologists and sports scientists that are running gyms near us that are our, you know, key referrers now. There's so much that we can learn off of them, you know, as much as they can learn off of us. So I think once again, like revisiting what we were saying before, if you're open to that learning, you know, you're so open to anyone around you in the health sector or the sports sector, whatever it is of interest to you, that you can bounce off of them. I think also going through uni as podiatrists, we do so much with the physios, usually end up with a bunch of friends who are, you know, other allied health therapists as well. So perhaps even leveraging off your existing friendships and friend networks and things like that. I'm sure that, you know, you've got someone already in your circle that's more than open to be helping you out in that regard as well.
Always. I think people, yeah, don't realize how much help there is out there as long as you go looking for it, I guess, and ask, willing to ask for help.
Definitely.
One final thought, Mel. Where's the future of podiatry going? Go nuts. I'll let you take this wherever you want it to go with. What should podiatry clinics be doing? What should podiatrists of all ages and experience be doing? Where do you think it's going next 10 years?
I think that there is a shift happening in podiatry now, and I think it's even started a few years back now. We're seeing new grads that are wanting more from their job. They're not just wanting to be cutting toenails. They're wanting to do more of a variety in their work, you know, with more biomechanics and sports, you know, just being more of a varied and diverse therapist instead of just being limited to one particular treatment. So I think that is where podiatry is heading. As with probably a lot of other allied health, you know, we're moving into more holistic therapists that, you know, if we're just so specific on one particular thing, you know, our professions is not going to last. It is just not going to last. For example, if podiatrists stick to toenail cutting and corns and callus, but we're ignoring all the other things, like why is that corn occurring? How can we fix this callus based on someone's movement pattern and their stiffness in their joints, not just with their foot, but what's happening higher up the chain? You know, we need to be looking at the big picture as much, you know, locally as we are globally, I think, with any particular issue. I think in terms of, you know, running my own business and seeing how it is for private practice podiatrists, we need to be doing a lot more than just what we're doing in our treatment consultation with our client. I think, yeah, something that I really pride myself and our team and our clinic on is just getting out there in the community and educating as much as we can educate. So all of us are so proactive in getting out there, you know, at different events and different sporting clubs, gyms around our clinics. We get out there and we regularly will run workshops and education seminars, and we'll just give up our time to be able to let people know what they can do with their feet, because we are the experts when it comes to foot health. And I think if we're not claiming our ground in what we do and what we know best, then it's gone, you know. Another therapist is going to be doing what we should be doing. People are going to be buying their orthotics from the chemist or from the chiropractor or whoever it is, buying it off a cruise ship. As podiatrists, we all hate this. And this is what's going to happen if we're not standing up and speaking for what we do and how we can help people. So I think the future of podiatry it lies within our hands, and we need to be getting out there and being proactive and letting people know how we can help them as much as anything we're doing in our clinics. That's really important as well.
There you go, guys. Get out there into the community and educate. Well, Mel, thank you. Thank you for coming on, speaking so passionately about podiatry. I think we're all very happy and very fortunate that you stuck with it and didn't go down a different path.
Thanks for having me.
This is the iMoveU podcast, getting you private practice ready. We give you fresh ideas on mindset, communication, and clinical skills so you can have a fulfilled career.